Merry Christmas. Welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our meditation this Christmas season is from Titus chapter 2. I'll read that now. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is God's word for our consideration. You better watch out. You better not cry or pout, because he's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna find out. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Santa's list has long been a driving force for many kids to behave during the month of December. While pointing to jolly old Saint Nick, many weary parents have implored their children to be good just a little longer, so that they could reap the rewards come Christmas Day. For many children, this was reason enough to wait patiently as mom and dad ran all kinds of errands during the Christmas season. It inspired some kids even to take a little initiative, to help out more around the house, to pitch in with the cleaning and the baking and the decorating and all the preparations that come with getting ready for Christmas. They wanted to be extra sure they were on the nice list. Of course, being nice is more than just being helpful here and there. There was that whole tricky matter of getting along with your classmates and siblings and listening to your parents too. But with the promise of shiny presents placed under the tree, it seemed to be a bit easier for kids to be good, to get their names on the nice list. 12 years ago, Santa got a popular new assistant. You may have heard of him, the Elf on the Shelf. This pint-sized scout elf sets up shop in the homes of families across the country and really has two important jobs. He watches and he listens. First, he watches how the children behave. Then he listens to their Christmas wishes. Each night after they go to bed, he magically flies back to the North Pole and reports all that he's seen and heard. Now, I don't know what your view on Santa and the Elf on the Shelf is. Maybe you're a family who really enjoys getting into all of that. Maybe you're not. What's fascinating to me, at least, is that during a time of year when people are already pretty stretched thin in terms of time, money, and creativity, they picked up on this new tradition so quickly. Of course, the reason is rooted in that old familiar song, "Be good for goodness sake." And good behavior is good. It's valuable. It's useful, beneficial for the doer and for those around them. Now, the Bible has a different way of describing this kind of being good. They're actually called fruits of the Spirit. Here's the list that Galatians 5 gives us. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, the Bible's point is pretty simple. With all of these good things, with peace, with love, with joy, with patience, forbearance, goodness, gentleness, self-control, who could be against such behaviors? They're not just a seasonal thing. They're not just acceptable as we gear up for Christmas. And yet, being good for goodness's sake gets tossed aside like crinkled up wrapping paper come December 25th. Come December 25th, that elf no longer resides on that shelf. Why? Well, because by then he has to go. Kids can no longer keep up appearances. Parents can no longer keep up with his adventures. Despite all the benefits that come with being good for goodness' sake, we simply cannot keep up. Even if Santa started a brand new list. Even if that elf stuck around. Well, why is that? Well, it's because when rewards are the reason to be good, we quickly run out of steam. When gifts are the primary motivation to be good, we eventually grow weary of doing and being good. When your motivation to do the right thing is only your reputation or some other kind of reward, we so quickly get frazzled, frustrated, and eventually exhausted. Here's how the Apostle Paul, the man who by God's inspiration wrote this letter to Titus, his fellow pastor, here's how Paul described his own internal battle to do good for goodness sake. He said, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." Now, Paul's battle probably sounds familiar to each one of us. But why do we have this battle? Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 20, that it's because sin lives in us. Now, as Paul talks about his own struggle, God is teaching us something about ourselves, too. The reason that we do not always do the right thing, the reason we cannot keep being good for goodness sake, is not merely a lack of willpower or self-control. It's because we're born with a sinful nature, because each one of us is naturally self-centered. That's why it's so hard for us to really love, to make sacrifices for other people willingly and joyfully without thinking even once, what's in this for me? That's why it's so hard for us to be patient and kind and to keep our promises and be faithful. That's why it's so easy for us to do the opposite. To be selfish and impatient, to grow frustrated with other people, to lose our cool even during Christmas. We may say that our word is our bond, but how many times haven't we shown that our word is far too brittle to bond anything? Sometimes we make foolish promises, other times we change our minds. There are situations where we cannot do what we said we would, and there are other times when we just plain don't want to follow through, and so we don't. The truth is, we cannot be good for goodness sake, whether we're 5 or 95. And maybe that makes you want to just give up. Maybe it's the idea of being good that is just naive. Not so fast. Remember, good isn't bad. It's good. That's why it makes us feel good. That's why it brings joy to other people. It's not goodness that's the problem, it's us. We're the ones that struggle to be good for goodness' sake. All people do. So how do we fix this problem? Well, we cannot. Not on our own. People who struggle to do the right thing at the right time for the right reasons, they don't need more gimmicks. You don't need more gimmicks. You need grace. You need undeserved, unmerited, unearned love from the big guy. Not from a toy maker from the North Pole, but from your maker and preserver in heaven itself. And this is the good news of Titus 2. This is the wonderful news that we read about in Luke chapter 2. Titus tells us that the grace of God has appeared. Grace that offers or brings salvation to all people. Not just those who think themselves to be good. Not just those who have fooled everybody else, to all people. See, what God is giving us here this Christmas is not a tiny scout on a shelf, but the Son of God, wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. But this is much more than just a baby. Now, any ordinary baby is celebrated, but not by choirs of angels. A son may bring joy to his family and his friends, but not to all people. An ordinary infant would never compel previously frightened shepherds to hurry off and find three people they've never met. And seeing a newborn face to face would not embolden those same shepherds to go and spread the word to everyone they can find in town. Nor would an infant taking his first breaths inspire the amazed reaction we see in the people of Bethlehem. No, this child is special. He is the Son of God. He is the grace of God appearing in flesh and blood. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. See, the reason we celebrate this Christmas season is not just because Jesus was born, but why he was born, what he came to do and be. As Luke describes it, a Savior has been born to you and me. He is Christ the Lord. This Lord came to live and die for all our sins. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. Now, in order to purchase back our lives and our souls from the wickedness that we have perpetrated, he had to be righteous in every thought, word, and deed. He had to be and do all those things against which there is no law. See, Jesus was good for your sake. And so he showed love to those who hated him. When he went back home to Nazareth, they only wanted Jesus to put on a show. Instead, he showed them that the scriptures were telling everyone that he was the Son of God. Now, this didn't sit well, and the crowd tried to throw him off a cliff, literally, but Jesus never raised a fist against them. He was patient with people who would have frustrated anyone else. When the religious leaders of his day came to him with tricky questions about things like taxes, Jesus responded patiently and beautifully. He said, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's." Jesus was kind to everyone. Infectious lepers, he was good to societal outcasts. He was faithful to friends and family who doubted and even denied him. He was incredibly forgiving, gentle to little ones and to those who felt small because of their shameful past. He lived a life of unrivaled self-control. Though he had divine power at his beck and call, he never performed a miracle to serve himself. He never called down legions of angels to eliminate his enemies. Even when the religious leaders beat and mocked him, he remained respectful. Even after the Roman soldiers whipped him, spit in his face, mocked his royal nature by dressing him up in purple, shoving a staff in his hand, jamming a crown of thorns into his skull. Even after all that, he never lashed out at anyone even once. Instead, as he was on the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." An innocent man died a shameful death that was reserved for the most wicked of criminals. And it was no accident. See, the innocent Son of God came to this world in flesh and blood, because he loved sinners like you and me. He lived for you, he died for you, and he lives again, that you might live with him for eternity. See, that's what Paul means when he says that Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. This is the love that warms our hearts this Christmas. Because this is what good does and is. This is God's grace. God tells us about this grace, this Son, this Jesus, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing, not doing, not accomplishing, not trying harder or doing better, but by believing, you may have life in his name. See, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. See, by faith in Christ, simple confidence that he has paid for all your sins with his suffering and his death, you have eternal life and salvation. In fact, Jesus has wonderful news for you this Christmas. He says to all who believe that their names are on a list far more important than Santa's nice list. He says this in Luke chapter 10, "Rejoice that your names are written in heaven." See, it's that change in status, having your name written in heaven, that has a remarkable impact on how and why you live. Because when you know that God loves you fully, unconditionally, you are moved and motivated to do things you would not otherwise. You no longer have to be good for goodness' sake, or for your own sake. Because God has been so good to you. You are freed from the burden to be good enough. And now you are given joy in being good to others, in giving glory to God in all that you think, say, and do. No longer do you have to worry about pleasing the big guy. And so it's appropriate that here we sing a different song, a new song. Not about how you better do this or better not do that, but a better song about what God has given us. Himself, his Son. So hail the heavenly Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild, he lays his glory by, born that we no more may die, born to raise us from the earth, born to give us second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Amen.